Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We've talked a lot lately about righteousness. We will more in the days ahead. And if you look up the word righteous, it's not like you, a lot of times if you'll do Bible study and you'll look up a word, the original language has got these long things, cool stuff, says all these little nuances. But the word righteous just means to work right. But to work right from God's perspective, to work right according to God's, what works right. Not standing off from a distance and saying, this is what I expect you to work right. No, it's like, you're supposed to work right according to my working right. We've quoted this verse a lot. So when you hear 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's one of the most remarkable statements ever. That we might become, didn't say you'd become God, but you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. See, a lot of people think Christianity is the Lord coming along, tapping you, and saying, you're forgiven. I'm not going to hold your sins anymore against you. Now, I'm winding you up. Now, take off and do better. And do better because you love me and do better on my behalf, and I'll help you. That's not what the gospel is at all. We've read this in Romans before. We're doing Romans on Wednesday nights. I'm so excited about tonight because we're going to talk about what Paul says about a society that's fallen apart. He's going to talk about things like homosexuality and, of course, transgender issues fall into that, and anger and violence and all that kind of stuff. But he talks about those things in light of the gospel. So relevant, so profoundly important that we as Christians have answers. We know the answers because in the brokenness that's being revealed, no matter what it may sound like to you, no matter what the sounds may be, no matter how angry it may sound, ridiculous and crazy and bizarre, all those sounds are sounds of crying out for help. That's all they are. And for Christians, one of the consequences of walking in the Spirit is that we don't live as consumers. We live as providers. Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And if it's that Christ, one who's living through me, then he's going to be a provider, not just a consumer. It's not about me. He lives for others. But this idea of righteousness, and he says this in Romans chapter 1, summing up the first little part, he kind of makes some summation statements. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Then he explains the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And we know that that word sozo, so if it's salvation, just means wholeness. It's to make a person right. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is God's supernatural power to fix people, to work right in a supernatural way. To work right the way God says working right looks like. And there's only one plumb line by which we measure that, Christ. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. There's so much stuff there, but the gospel, if I get something in the mail, it's really important that it works right when I get it, because if it doesn't and I try to fix it, it'll never work right again. But when I get something in the mail, like I ordered a vacuum cleaner recently, and it worked right, and I was really grateful. It was fully functional. That's righteousness. Unrighteousness is not working right. All unrighteousness is self-righteousness. See, we think self-righteousness is when somebody's trying to be spiritual. That's self-righteous. They're bragging on their own spirituality by their own effort. That's an expression of self-righteousness. But when somebody's walking out the confusion of transgenderism, that's self-righteousness too. They're doing what they think is right. And they've declared that as righteous. That's good. It's a good thing. And tries to convince the culture it's a good thing. That's the purpose of the media. They exercise a numbing effect on society. And sometimes it'll do that for decades before the final intention is accomplished. So that people stop and go, well, okay, yeah, that's a form of working right, of being fully functional. No, it's just self-righteousness because it's what man produces. And then man stamps as normal. Only that which is God stamps as normal is normal. And the gospel is about God making people normal again. And only the power of God can do that. And normal looks like the righteousness of God. life and life more abundant. This is supernatural. It's not just working better, it's working right. So if I got that vacuum cleaner and I turned it on and it supernaturally began to go around the room and clean without anybody holding it, that's like God's righteousness. Cut my grass, paint my house, that's like God's righteousness. Can do more than you can ever imagine. And here's the cool thing. This is a little bit of a preview tonight, but what Paul does in Romans, what the Holy Spirit does, starting in verse 18, he just lays out this yucky description of the sinfulness of mankind. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, whether you're a religious person, non-religious person, he just lays it out. The result of man's ungodliness, trying to live life without God, ungodliness, they've been ungodded, ungodliness, and the unrighteousness that they manifest. And he does that because he wants people to see how yucky their life is, because they know it is, and how hopeless it is for them to change, so that when he ends up landing in how amazing the gospel is, and it's the power of God to change a person, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done. We can't philosophize people into transformation. We can't get into psychological and philosophical arguments with people who have issues like transgenderism or whatever and talk them into being different. It's a miracle that changes people. And that's why Paul says, when you get to Romans 5, verse 20, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. God's last word about every person is grace. So the encouraging word for me, the encouraging word for us, because Christians can walk in self-righteousness too, can't they? Trying their best to be righteous, that's not what God signed you up for. He signed you up for, he transformed you so that you can manifest the righteousness of God. So I'm trying so hard to love him, or I'm trying so hard to love her, it ain't ever going to work. The world's trying hard too. Trying hard, it's like what it means to be lost. And Christians live like lost people all the time. But where sin abounds, but I just can't love, grace abounds all the more. Do you understand what that means? It means no matter what you've tried to do and can't get victory over, he does as a free gift. He accomplishes as a free gift. So if you've come to a place in your life, you think, this is stuff I've been given into as a Christian even, and again, I'm just like in bondage to this. I just can't get over this. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Matter of fact, the language there is grace so super exceeds whatever the issue is in your life. It's the word hyper abounding. The victory Christ comes to live in us, to give us, isn't, it was a rough day, but man, I kind of made it, barely made it, I survived. That's not victory. It's 175 to nothing. Not I squeaked over and pushed it across the line in the last minute. I got a walk-off home run. No, it's like beat the dog out of the enemy. And it's supernatural. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Why don't we have more Christians walk in that? Because often when I talk about this kind of thing among a bunch of Christians, they look at me like a calf looking at a new gate, as if it's the craziest thing they ever heard in their life. Because they've been dummied down by the church to expect so much less from the gospel than the gospel offers. That's tragic. You don't have to get better at not getting angry. You can be free. Can you choose to get angry? Yes. But can you be free so you don't give in to anger? Yes. Christianity is not an improvement program. It's a transformation. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.